The following podcast is a presentation of the Washington College of Law at American University. Any unauthorized use or distribution is strictly prohibited.
Welcome to the introduction session for the War Crimes Research Office. My name is Susanna Sakoto, and I direct the office and have directed the office since 2004. I want to today introduce to you our staff at the War Crimes Research Office, let you know a little bit about the work that we do, what the War Crimes Research Office does, and how you can get involved, both as volunteers, mostly in your first year, or as research assistants, what we call here Dean's Fellows, in your second, third year, or if you're an LLM student and you're interested in this area. We're going to spend quite a bit of time telling you about the various activities we undertake and ways, again, that you can get involved. But I'd like to take, I know there's more of you than I expected, but I want to take a few minutes to just go do a very quick round robin of your name and your year in the in your career here, and then a brief word or two about your interest in this area. And maybe if we could start here and just go through the room.
My name is Erin. I'm a 1L, and I interned at Amnesty International at one point, and we deal with issues of war crimes and human rights abuses internationally, so that sort of perked my interest in coming.
Great. Welcome.
My name is Sophia Vivero. I'm a 1L2, and I've always had an interest in human rights, and specifically in Latin America.
Great. Thank you. Let me give you a chance to chew and start with you instead.
My name is Ara. I'm a 1L, and I've always been interested in human rights, human trafficking in the Philippines.
Interesting. Thank you. Welcome.
My name is Liz Hempwitz. I'm a 1L, and I also have always been interested in international law and in regards to human rights, and especially the high courts of the UN. Mm-hmm. And so this seems right up my alley.
Great. Welcome.
My name is Chris. I'm a 1L, and I was always really interested in kind of the war crimes in the Pacific after World War II, so I thought I'd check this out.
The Tokyo Tribunal. Yes, absolutely. Thank you. Welcome.
My name is Paul. I'm also a 1L, particularly interested in U.S. foreign policy and human rights in Latin America.
Okay, great.
My name is Destiny. I'm a 1L, and I'm interested in international human rights, specifically refugees and sex trafficking and human trafficking. So.
Thank you. Welcome.
My name is Flavia, and I'm a 1L, and this just seemed like a really unique program for the school, so I wanted to learn a little bit more about it.
Great. Thanks.
I'm Catherine. I'm a 1L, and I echo everything.
Well, welcome. Grab some lunch. You'll learn a little bit about our office. Thanks.
My name is Chris. I'm a 1L. I just wanted to get into the field of international criminal law, and I figured this would be a fast way to do it.
Great, yeah. It's a good way to get familiar with the work of the tribunals early on. Thanks.
My name is Sophia. I'm a 2L, and I'm interested in international criminal law.
Great. And have you taken an international law here?
Yeah.
Great. Thanks.
My name is Yaritza. I'm also a 2L, and I actually have a business and background, but I have an interest in international or human rights, international law, and so I thought this would be a good sort of area to get into.
Great, thanks. Start with you in the back.
My name is Ashton. I'm a 1L. I have quite a few things that tie me to criminal law. I've worked for an anti-genocide group. I've done a lot of research on the crimes committed in the Vietnam War and the former Yugoslavia.
Great. Welcome. Glad to have you.
My name is Andrew Rose. I'm a 2L. I actually volunteered with the War Crimes Research Office last year.
Some familiar faces, yes.
Interested in hearing what's new this year and new programming, and
great.
I'm interested in doing this law. So I steered my course towards that.
Great. Thanks.
I'm Joshua. I'm also a 1L. Interested in international human rights as a topic and also as a flow and foot developing finding international treaties.
Great.
I'm Halle Schweide. I'm actually an SJD student at the school, so I'm just starting.
Welcome.
And my dissertation topic is regarding denial to access to healthcare in the Palestinian territory as a crime against humanity. So this is the perfect place to be for me.
Wonderful. Are you working with
Professor Lindsay Wiley?
Lindsay Wadding, exactly. Our new healthcare person. Excellent. Well, we'll hopefully meet again soon. Should we take it through the back? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not an easy task, yes?
My name is Lily, and I'm a 1L, and I'm interested in international law, especially the ICC.
Okay. Good enough. Yeah, thank you.
My name is Ryan. I'm a 1L, interested in international criminal law and how that relates to national sovereignty.
Interesting. Good. Thanks. Yes, indeed. Makes it hard to follow the proceedings, right? Yes. I'd love to learn a little bit more about why you're in the ICT, in the Hague, but we'll do that later. Yes.
My name is Keith. I'm a 2L, and I wrote my thesis as an undergrad on the prosecution of rape within the ITCY and how that they changed it as their work. Anyway.
Thank you. Interesting work. Yeah. Okay, interesting. Thank you.
I'm Megan. I'm a 1L. I'm interested in international law and war crimes, but like specifically the development of like stronger enforcement mechanisms, development of them.
Interesting. Okay, thanks.
Chris Bonk, 1L. I had the opportunity to look at history of some situations that could be connected to this, and so I figured it'd be interesting to learn more about the legal aspect.
Great, welcome.
I'm a colleague. I'm also a 1L.
With who?
A human rights organization.
Which one?
It was called the High Road for Human Rights.
Okay, great.
Might have that for
okay, interesting. Yes.
My name is Maria Milano. I worked covering the UN and the ICC for a while, so that kind of hurt my interest in war crimes.
Were you a journalist?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, great, thanks.
My name is Michelle, and I'm a 2L. I have some experience working with the prosecutor's office, and I'm now really interested in doing it at the international level.
Interesting. Great. Thanks. Welcome.
My name is Ashley. I'm a 1L, and I have an interest in human rights, and I also have an interest, actually, in the issues that pertain to protecting cultural property in terms of Europe.
Yeah, interesting. We've done a little bit of work around that in the context of Cambodia because they have a tribunal with jurisdiction to prosecute violations of a convention, of an international convention on the protection of cultural property. It's a very specific area. Thank you.
My name is Emily. I'm interested in human rights. I wrote my honors thesis on tribal soldiers in northern Uganda. And I'm just looking for more ways to get involved and kind of expand my knowledge and actually get hands on it.
Are you a 1L?
I am.
Okay, great. Thanks.
I'm Ryan. I'm a 1L, and I'm just interested in the process of how to distinguish or classify who war criminals are.
Great. Welcome.
My name is Devin McLaughlin. I'm a 1L, and I am interested in international criminal law and human rights issues like genocide and sex trafficking, and I wanted to get more experience in that.
Great. Okay, yeah, in the news lately. Thank you. Last couple.
My name's Nick. I'm a 1L. My background is in political theory, and I'm really interested in how somebody mentioned national sovereignty, how like this is like a burgeoning field, and it's really exciting. There's a chance to do a lot of really fun and exciting things. And on a more practical level, I have some experience, not war crimes per se, but in Zimbabwe, examining the human rights crisis that's been going on
for a long time. Right, thanks.
My name is Corinne. I'm a 1L, and the reason I'm here is I worked with criminal law this summer at the Baltimore State Public Defender, and I would be interested in seeing how international criminal law is different from domestic.
Yeah, and how in some cases it borrows from domestic criminal law systems. Great, welcome. Yes. Last but not least.
I'm Saima, and I'm interested in international criminal law and prosecuting war crimes. I haven't decided on a region yet because there's a lot of regions that interest me, but I just want to look into it and find out more.
Great. Well, welcome to you all. You have quite an interesting history, histories and interests. I'm excited about learning more about what you've done in the past and getting you involved in the work of the office. I'm going to spend a few minutes, as I said, talking a little bit about our mandate, our mission, and what we do, what are our activities. And then eventually I'll turn it over to our staff to introduce themselves and some of the activities that you can do. Especially, there's so many 1Ls here. We'll cover a little bit about activities for 2Ls and 3Ls and LMs and SJDs, but then also focus on volunteer opportunities for 1Ls, ways you can get involved without having to dedicate 20 hours a week in your first year. So in terms of our mandate, our office was established in 1995 to provide basically legal research assistance to international criminal tribunals on what really were and continue to be cutting-edge issues in international criminal law. And international criminal law is sort of a field that touches on and emerges from international humanitarian law, international human rights law, areas of law which many of you expressed interest in. So there's an overlap and a deep connection between international criminal law and those other areas of law. We were established because the first prosecutor of the ICTY and the ICTR, the tribunals for the former Yugoslavia and Rwanda, Richard Goldstein, who was himself a judge on the Constitutional Court of South Africa, he was appointed the first chief prosecutor of those tribunals, but he was faced with this daunting task of prosecuting serious international crimes for the first time since Nuremberg and Tokyo, right? And the law had changed. There was a new genocide convention, for instance, after World War II. Nobody had prosecuted genocide, at least at the international level. There was the Geneva Conventions, the 1949 Geneva Conventions. How do you prosecute a grave breach of the Geneva Conventions? He was faced with these questions of interpretation, of ambiguity, and he turned to the law school. At the law school at the time was Diana Ortlund, who was on leave until January, but she was an expert in international criminal law, and to one of our LLM students, Jan Pronk, who is the son of the UN former special envoy to Sudan, who was doing an LLM here, and the two of them got together and created this, what was supposed to be a one-year project, and which we're now, you know, inching on 15, 20 years of service to the tribunals, but basically created the tribunals to do the War Crimes Research Office to do the kind of specialized legal research analysis that the prosecution of serious international crimes requires. So that was the genesis of this office. And so in the early years, we primarily provided assistance to those two tribunals, the ICTY and the ICTR. But in the process, in the late 90s, early 2000s, there are other kinds of tribunals that began to emerge. Some of them are known as hybrid or internationalized criminal tribunals, right? And they are they're sort of UN-assisted projects that contain a mix of international and national elements. What do I mean by that? I mean that they're personnel, they're staffed by both national and international judges, prosecutors, defense attorneys. They have an interesting mix of jurisdiction over international and national crimes. And they are often, though they're prosecuting international crimes, located in the country where the atrocities occurred. So these started developing in the early 2000s, and with each new tribunal, novel legal issues emerged, and each of them requested our, again, legal research analysis service. So in the last several years, I'm going to miss a couple, but I'll mention two. We've worked with the Special Court for Sierra Leone. I'll talk a little bit more about that court in a minute, but it was established after the civil war in Sierra Leone to deal with atrocities committed during that war. And the Extraordinary Chambers and the Courts of Cambodia, a court established, again, in Cambodia to deal with atrocities committed by the Khmer Rouge during the Khmer Rouge regime, which, as most of you know, happened quite a long time ago in the 70s, right, 75 to 79. In late 2003, we also began to work with the International Criminal Court, the first and only permanent institution dedicated to prosecuting serious international crimes. And there, we started assisting the Office of the Prosecutor with their initial cases. In 2007, we did something that was a little bit different. Rather than working on behalf of one organ of the court, the ICC, we started producing public analyses of decisions, of issues that arose in the early decisions of the court. And in part, this was in response to a request for public analytical in-depth critique of what was happening at the ICC. And what's up here, I don't have copies for all of you, but certainly after this session, you can come up and view. These are some of the last reports. We've done 14 of these reports over the course of the last 3 or 4 years. And these are the last three. We've looked at a variety of different issues that have come up before the court, and we send them directly to the judges, the prosecutors, the defense attorneys, the registrar, and we receive a lot of feedback from them about our recommendations. So that's a slightly different type of project than we do with the other tribunals, but that project is ongoing. I should say also that more recently we've begun to work with special courts set up within the context of the national judiciary of different countries to prosecute international crimes. So not necessarily with UN support, although one of the courts that we work with, the War Crimes Chamber in the State Court of Bosnia and Herzegovina, had a lot of international support, in particular by the UN and the ICTY. But now it has a scaled-down international support in the form of international judges, but it's really designed and intended to be a national mechanism. And so we work for the State Court of Bosnia in their War Crimes Chamber, and we also do some work for other national organizations. One example is the Argentina's Assistance Unit for Human Rights Violations under state terrorism, so under the junta leadership of the 60s and 70s. And we've been assisting them for maybe 2 years or so. I wanted to sort of give you a sense of the kinds of tribunals, of mechanisms, of institutions that we've worked with over the years. And they include national, hybrid, and international courts, all of which are mandated to prosecute international crimes. And so whether we are working at the national, hybrid, or international level, our core mandate involves coming up with creative, novel solutions to what are really unanswered questions in international criminal law. It's a rapidly evolving area of the law, and there's always issues that have not yet been resolved. As many of you, if you follow the news in this area of the law, you may have seen a whole host of developments over the last, 10, 15, 20 years. In the Rwanda tribunal, for instance, media executives were held accountable for incitement to genocide. For the first time since, genocide didn't exist, but incitement to crimes against humanity was litigated at Nuremberg. But it was a huge development in the law. Rape and other forms of sexual violence, some of you mentioned this as an area of interest. By the ICTY and the ICTR, both have had jurisprudence recognizing rape and sexual violence not only as a form of a war crime, but also as a crime against humanity, and also as an act of genocide. So there's been monumental progress in some ways, although much progress remains to be seen in other ways, in this area of sexual violence as an international crime. And one of you talked about state sovereignty and how to prosecute heads of state. Well, we've had several international tribunals actually indict sitting heads of state, obviously challenging traditional notions of head of state immunity and getting into these questions of how far the international community can go in terms of infringing on traditional notions of sovereignty. Very difficult questions remain. The ICC, for instance, the International Criminal Court has an unusual role for victims that we don't see in many of the other tribunals. Victims can participate in proceedings. They can express their views and concerns to the court at the discretion of the court when the court thinks it's appropriate for them to participate, but they have a role that is that's more than just their role as witnesses that they have in the other tribunals. So the question, you know, for the ICC has been and continues to be, how is a court set up to try mass crimes with potentially thousands of victims? How do they ensure meaningful participation by victims while or without jeopardizing the rights of the defense or the efficiency of proceedings, right? It's a huge question. We're not talking about a single robbery. We're often talking about genocide affecting tens of thousands of people. So these are the kinds of questions our office is asked to analyze, questions that are often not only on the cutting edge of international law, but are critical to the effective functioning of these tribunals. So that's the core mandate. I want the legal research and analysis. And for the most part, I would say 2Ls and 3Ls, SJD, LLMs, are involved in that work. I want to mention to you a couple of other activities, some of which, again, are more relevant to you later down the road, but that you should know we are involved in and organize. The first one I want to talk about is the War Crime Speaker Series. We host a War Crime Speaker Series during the academic year, the aim of which is to bring practitioners and experts in international criminal law to the law school community to talk to you about their work, to talk to you about the challenges involved in prosecuting Milosevic, head of state, in defending against these cases. What's it like to operate in the context of international criminal law? This term, we're expecting to hold at least two events related to the Special Court for Sierra Leone. The first will focus on the judgment against Charles Taylor, who's the former president of Liberia, who, as most of you know, is being tried for war crimes and crimes against humanity committed during the conflict in Sierra Leone, right? He is being tried for taking part in those crimes, by participating in them in several ways, by planning, instigating, ordering them, by aiding and abetting them, by taking part in the execution of a plan to take over Sierra Leone during which war crimes and crimes against humanity were committed. But he's also being tried on this theory of superior responsibility, right? What's that? Anybody have a sense of what superior responsibility is? Guesses? Yes.
Is that related to command responsibility?
Yeah, and so what's that? What's the
of a hierarchy of individuals that carried out those actions, they were following his orders or his wishes, even if he didn't explicitly tell them to go shoot these people.
Yeah.
They were still doing his bidding.
Yeah. Some way he had knowledge or should have had knowledge of what was happening. Crimes were committed by his subordinates. He was in a superior-subordinate relationship, knew about crimes or should have known about crimes were happening, and did nothing either to prevent them or to punish them after the fact. Right, so that's this theory of superior responsibility. He's being tried for direct responsibility and for superior responsibility. The trial began in January of 2008. It ended, I think, closing statements were in March of this year. The judgment is expected out in September, and so we hope, and I've invited the chief prosecutor of the Special Court for Sierra Leone, Brenda Hollis, to come speak with us about the judgment on the assumption that actually comes out in September. We're waiting to see if that actually happens. It may be later in the fall. But in any event, Brenda Hollis is an interesting prosecutor. She's an American prosecutor. She's a retired military officer from the U.S. Air Force. Her service included service both in the intelligence, as an intelligence officer, and a member of the JAG, of the Judge Advocate Corps. She was at the ICTY. I was at the ICTY in the late 90s, and she was there as a senior trial attorney. She was, before her appointment as chief prosecutor, the lead trial attorney on the Taylor case. So she would have very interesting insights on the judgment. The other event we expect to hold as part of this War Crime Speaker Series is a screening of the film War Don Don, which is a film about one of the other trials being that was held by the Special Court for Sierra Leone against the RUF rebel group. And the idea is that we'd have a screening, and it would be followed by a discussion with the director of the film. So So basically, you'll find announcements about all of these events in several places. In MyWCL, usually on the homepage, in the Center for Human Rights and Humanitarian Law newsletter, and then we have a listserv that we keep and maintain. Make sure you sign up at the end of this conversation that we will send out notices to. So just keep your eye out for news about dates and time and place. The other thing I wanted to mention to you is that we organize two international law competitions that you might want to be aware of. Again, mostly for your second, third year. 1L's actually not allowed to compete in moot court competitions. But the first of these that I want to talk about is the PACE moot court competition. It's a moot court competition based on a hypothetical criminal trial before the International Criminal Court. The competition is held up in White Plains in New York, and it's a qualifying round for a final round in The Hague against people from all over the world, teams from all over the world. As I mentioned, victims have a very unusual role in the ICC, and so this competition allows written and oral arguments from three different perspectives. Unlike a more traditional moot, you have a defense and prosecution. Here you can argue from the perspective of the prosecution, the defense, and a victim's representative. So the team will have at least three, if not more, participants. Last year's team actually reached the semifinals, and a member of our team, I think she won the second best prosecutor's memorial. And so you can talk to those folks who are still here. They have made it clear that they are happy to answer questions about participating in the moot court, but contact us. You'll see notice about when applications are due. The second one I want to talk about is the Jean Pictet competition. It's a competition focused on international humanitarian law. It's, again, very different than the traditional moot court competition. It's not an adversarial proceeding, defense, prosecutor v. defense. It's actually a series of simulated negotiations, sometimes bilateral, sometimes multilateral, but they involve issues of IHL, of the laws of war, and often international law more generally, treaty law, law of the sea, international human rights law, international criminal law. So it's a different kind of experience, but it's a great opportunity, again, not only to enhance and apply your knowledge of those areas of the law, but also to network with professionals in the field, the judges that are judging your simulated negotiation interventions are people, are representatives from the ICRC, the International Committee of the Red Cross, the UN, national ministries of foreign affairs, other academic institutions. So it's a great place not only to get your feet wet in this area of the law, but to network with people who are practicing. So one other thing I want to mention, although we will have a separate information session about this later in the fall, I don't think we've set it up yet, is that we run, I direct and our office runs, the Hague Summer Program. And the Hague Summer Program, there's a seat in the front, but you're welcome to grab some lunch too. That we offer this in June every summer. It's a month-long program, 4 weeks. It's a six-credit program with two classes. One is a basic introduction to international criminal law, and the second one is a more narrowly focused class on issues related to terrorism, legal approaches, comparative and international legal responses to terrorism and counterterrorism measures. So that's, that takes place in The Hague. The great aspect, one of the great aspects of the program is that we bring in the practitioners, the judges and the prosecutors and the defense attorneys from the tribunals in The Hague to come talk to you directly about the law. And then we visit those tribunals and have an opportunity to observe proceedings, and again, a very good opportunity to network with people in the field. We have some brochures about the summer programs, obviously dated from last year. The new program will probably be up in October, maybe, late September, October. And the you'll know when the application opens. The thing to keep in mind is it's, you know, so long as you're a law student in good standing, it's a first-come, first-serve kind of list. We have a limited enrollment of 40 students every year that we've run the program. We've had a wait list, so if you're really interested, when you see the announcement, apply. Okay? Okay, so before I turn it over to the rest of the staff, how are we doing on time?
You're at 12:40.
Oh, geez. Okay. You know what? Let me stop and introduce you guys. I've been talking for a long time. We'll come back to what's in the headlines in a minute. Let me start with Catherine Cleary, our assistant director. And well, before I turn it over, let me just say that, as I mentioned in the beginning, there are opportunities for all of you to get involved. The research assistant positions, which are the dean's fellow positions, have a consistent commitment requirement of 20 hours a week. So it's just onerous for first years who are trying to get used to this new system. But once you are in that phase, we basically hire between 7 and 9 Dean's Fellows every semester for different types of projects. One group of fellows will work directly on research that we compile, the research memos for the tribunals that we work with at any given time. So they'll be researching and drafting answers to questions posed to us by the tribunals or on these public ICC reports. The second group of fellows will be assisting what we call the gender jurisprudence collections project. It's a project on gender and international criminal law that Allison Plenge, our jurisprudence collections coordinator, will talk about in a minute. And we usually hire about 3 or 4 for that project. And then one fellow will be hired for to help us with the summer program. So we have quite and I should say the summer program fellow we have hired one else in the past, right?
I believe we have.
Yeah, so actually, it's not entirely true that you can't apply for the fellowships, but it's still a commitment, you know, a 20-hour commitment. But we do, what I want to say before I turn it over is that we have several volunteer opportunities. And volunteering, some of you mentioned this, is a great way to get to know the work of the office without having to commit 20 hours a week, right, with a much more flexible time commitment, and then to assess whether you might want to apply in the future for a research position, for a research assistant position. So with that said, let me turn it over to Catherine. We'll talk about a few of the opportunities. And then at the end, you may have met already Brady Williamson, who is our staff assistant and helps me both with the War Crimes Office as well as the summer program. So take it away.
Great. So the most consistent volunteer opportunity, especially for 1Ls, although it's open to everybody, is what we call status updates. And basically, these are biweekly meetings. We get together as a group. I lead the meetings. And the idea is just to talk about recent developments in the world of international criminal law. So I'm sure you guys have heard in the past couple weeks, there's been a lot of talk about Libya, maybe Syria, you know, should we be in Syria? Over the summer, there was big news at the ICTY with the last two remaining fugitives being arrested after 16 years on the lam. There's also, you know, we get into judgments that are issued, just major decisions by the courts. And we look at all the tribunals and courts, basically, that Susanna talked about, all the ones we've worked with over time, some new developing hybrid courts, even that we haven't started working with yet. And basically, the way it works is you guys, the students, to divide yourselves into teams depending on which courts or tribunals you're most interested in. You can float around. It's all very informal. But basically, organize yourselves into teams, and then before we meet, the team will send me the updates of just what's been happening at your court for the past 2 weeks. They're very brief, 1 to 2 sentence updates. You do these on your own time. You can organize within the team, you know, you can switch off every other week or whatever, however works best for you. So the time commitment is really flexible there. Then we meet every other week for an hour and go over what you guys found as for developments. And I provide background, give you answer questions, whatever you guys want to talk about. We focus on, you know, we don't cover every single thing in detail, but sort of whatever's interesting to the group, we can talk about in more detail. So it's a good way to learn, to start digging into the deeper issues and sort of the questions of national sovereignty and peace versus justice and those kind of things. You know, we can debate those because those come up often in just discussing what's been going on. So that's status updates. It goes throughout the year. And we'll put together a list and basically have our first meeting and at that meeting divide up the courts and decide on a regular meeting time that fits with everybody's schedule. The second sort of regular opportunity we offer is the drafting of judgment summaries. And these are pretty brief, about 1,000 to 1,500 word summaries of judgments that have come out of two of the courts we work with, the Rwanda Tribunal and the Special Court for Sierra Leone. And these are, usually we do it three times a year, and about three or four summaries are done. And that's all on your individual time. You basically will do the draft, turn it to me, I'll edit it, and then the summary goes up on our website, and the court will link to that summary from the court's website. And then the summary is also published in the Human Rights Brief, which you guys are all probably familiar with by now. And so you'll be published. And the summaries are basically, you know, there's a small review of the overall holdings of the court, but it's really meant to dig into interesting developments in the law, maybe if there's a dissent, you know, a split between judges, some change in interpretation of how a certain crime is being looked at by the court. So again, it really lets you dig in and really look at, you know, one or two interesting developments in the law within the context of a particular judgment. One caveat, we don't have 1Ls do the first round of judgment summaries, which usually I'll send out calls three times a year. It sort of coincides with the briefs publication schedule throughout the academic year. The first one will be around October, but then there's one in the winter and one in the fall, or one in the spring, and that one will be open to 1Ls. And just so you know, a lot of people usually express interest in writing this. I give preference to people that have been coming to status updates regularly or just been involved with the office. So just so you know about that. Now I'm going to turn it over to Allison to talk about her volunteer opportunities.
Okay. I'm Allison Plenge. I'm the Jurisprudence Collections Coordinator. Essentially, I oversee our jurisprudence collections, which is a collection of all the jurisprudence from 12 internationalized courts and tribunals that we have worked with or done work for. It's been around a long time. I think we're the only place where it's, you know, all in one place on the internet. It's about to be totally free access. So that's kind of the smaller part, though, of my job. I'm managing the Gender Jurisprudence and International Criminal Law project that we work on. We collaborate, actually, with the Women in International Law program. And it's essentially a project to raise awareness and facilitate discourse about the prosecution of gender-based and sexual violence crimes in international criminal law. Keep your eyes posted on the website and for a press release about our gender jurisprudence collections, which is going live on September 1st. It will be a free database that allows researchers to essentially research the treatment of gender-based and sexual violence crimes. We have reviewed, you know, 16,000 plus documents over the last 2 years for gender-based issues. It's very specialized, and it's a one-of-a-kind database. It's very cool. So we're moving into the second phase of that project, and for Dean's Fellows positions, it's digesting documents for that database, so looking specifically, you know, at facts and allegations and you know, general gender-based issues within these documents for digesting. So that's for the 2Ls and SJDs and LLMs out there. But we also have volunteer opportunities. We have to maintain, obviously, the jurisprudence comes down every day from these tribunals. We maintain monthly the collections and now the gender jurisprudence collections. So doing a gender review of those documents is something that we have to move forward with, and so I'm happy to have volunteers to help with that. And also a bibliography research project. Essentially, our website, you'll see if you go on and explore, it's kind of becoming this sort of research resource portal of gender-based issues in international criminal law. So we maintain already a pretty extensive bibliography on resources in the field, but we obviously need to maintain and update that. So I'm looking for volunteers to help with that and to clear copyright so that we can post things freely on our website. If you have any questions, feel free to talk to me afterward. Thank you. Brady?
All right. I'll take the last set of volunteer opportunities we have. And these two that I'm going to cover are sort of for people, you're 1Ls, you're probably snowed under. If you're not snowed under at this point, you will be in the heat. So if you have a little less availability, but you still want to get involved in the office and sort of see what we do, this is also a good opportunity for that. So first we've got research volunteers. And for those, basically what will happen is, from time to time, we come across a need for research help, editing help, or this is really the big one, spading help, where you're going to look at our citations and make sure our citations are actually citing what the citation says. Go back and look at it. And that's very important before we put out our reports and all that. And for those volunteers, from time to time, I will post a message to our listserv. And if you're available, if you're interested in doing it, you can just send me an email and we'll get you in and we'll get you to work on that. The other one I want to address here is the International Student Resource Panel. If any of you have some legal experience from working in countries other than the U.S., obviously we're an international organization, we're often dealing with issues of comparative law, issues where we could really use the help of someone with expertise in other areas like that, international experience in that sense. And so occasionally we'll put out a call to our International Student Resource Panel for someone who can help on a specific issue we come across. So those are the last two sort of volunteer opportunities at the office.
Great. So any questions from you on anything that we've discussed, how to get involved? One of the things I want to make sure that you know is that this is going to be, I don't know if we only have one.
No.
Okay, we have several of these sign-up sheets, and it's important for Brady to have your contact information for the very reason he just said, that if we come up with a need for a researcher or a spader or something, that he can contact you. So fill these out with your name and email address, and then we have... a checkbox, you basically check what you're most interested in so that we kind of get a sense of who we might be able to call for help when need arises. But certainly feel free to ask any questions that you might have. Yeah, you and then you as well.
You mentioned you work on a program in Argentina. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if there are any volunteer opportunities in with that program.
Yeah, it depends on... on what we're doing at the time. So the questions vary over the course of the semester, over the course of the year, on what they need help with. And so to the extent that our Dean's Fellows might need some assistance on something they're looking at, they might look at asking Brady to send out a notice for volunteers. But all of the questions, other than our public reports, are confidential, so we aren't able to kind of talk about them generally without you coming into the office signing confidentiality memo, et cetera, et cetera. So I can't be more specific than that, but it will be on an as-needed basis.
Oh, but Susan, if I could just mention that the only tribunal we haven't gender reviewed is the Argentinian.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because we haven't had a volunteer Spanish speaker who can. So if that's an opportunity that interests any of you, all of those documents need to be read and gender reviewed, and it's sort of the only missing piece from our current collections. So
that's actually an excellent point.
It's just something to keep in mind.
Spanish speakers out there. Terrific. Thank you. I think you had a question as well.
I was just wondering if the War Crimes Research Office is completely separate from the Human Rights Center.
Yes, it is. Yeah, so we're actually in a different building. I should have said this at the beginning. We're not in this main law school building. There are two annex buildings of the law school. One is 4910 Massachusetts Avenue, and the other one is 4301 50th Street. They're actually, if you go down the street towards the CVS in that area, you cross the street and go down. There's a set of stairs into a big parking lot. 4910 is on the right, and across the parking lot is our building, 4301 50th Street. We're on the ground floor, most of us on the ground floor. Allison is on the second floor. But basically, we're across the street, and we're separate from the Center for Human Rights and Humanitarian Law. We're very focused on international criminal law. As I said, there's a huge overlap between ICL and human rights and humanitarian law. The center is sort of more focused on programming and conference and event planning, that kind of thing. And we're very focused on assisting the tribunals. That's our primary mandate. Any other questions? Yeah.
Awesome. Who do you think will use the database, and what are they going to do with it?
Oh, our hope is that practitioners...
We will.
They will certainly use it. Practitioners, judges, clerks, academics, this is actually a very hot area. There's kind of a lot going on with it, and so I think And we've actually given a couple of demonstrations. We gave one in October to a very small working group and got a lot of feedback. And then during the summer program in The Hague, I actually went in June and we presented to judges and clerks and people who work at various organizations in The Hague, and there was a lot of excitement about researching these issues. I mean, the reason this project came about is because, people said, including a judge on one of the international tribunals, that, perhaps she would have decided differently if there was a way to specifically research gender-based violence within international criminal law. And so we expect kind of anyone to be able to use it.
Yeah, I think it's important. The genesis of that project is important. In 2008, our office and the Women International Law Program held a conference, a two-day conference, on the prosecution of sexual and gender-based crimes before international tribunals, at which prosecutors and judges and academics and researchers came together to talk about this issue. And one of the very strong recommendations coming out of that two-day conference was for a database where all of this material would be gathered and accessible to, on a public basis, accessible to judges, law clerks, and the prosecution and the defense, et cetera, so that they could conduct more sophisticated analysis of the issues in this area of the law. And so it came out of that discussion, and at the discussion was the judge, Allison mentioned, who basically was tasked with making a very important decision, landmark decision actually in this area of the law, and said she could have well benefited from a database of this sort that could have helped her with the research. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, funny you should mention that. We just signed an MOU with the STL. We haven't yet undertaken any projects with them, but literally, I mean, I think this week, we signed an agreement, which is what we do with every tribunal we've worked with in the past, to provide legal research assistance, much like we have provided to the other tribunals.
And that's definitely a tribunal that we look at in status updates and can talk about. I should have also mentioned just really quickly the status updates, the updates that you draft and that we talk about also go up on our website, and it is a really useful tool for, again, practitioners, research, just because there's so many courts and tribunals and so much is going on in this area and developments are happening so fast that it's really you'll really be contributing to a useful tool.
Great. I know did we say 12 to 1?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're running out of time, and I want to make sure you have time to reach these. I'm going to give, maybe if you can give one to your side and one to this side, and then there will be two up here, so we can sort of divvy up the space. Any other last-minute questions, you're always welcome to email us or to come by the office, call us. We hope to see you. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Just drop it.